I've been so enamored with the fact that there's things that God's doing in our midst that we don't even really understand as of right now. And thank you for being faithful to the house of God on a cold Sunday. I want you to know that we do have LifeSpring church cards. Just a reminder, when you go to a dinner somewhere, you're sitting down, there are hungry souls around you. There are people that don't know what you know about God. And if you would just leave one of these cards, at the top it says, be our guest. These are our visitor invite cards. They double as our church business card. But on the back, there's a QR code that they could scan with their phone. Almost everyone has them. The ability to use a smartphone nowadays. And they could scan this QR code, see the church, and feel like they are invited to something that would speak life into them. How many know He's our source of life? He is the way, the truth, and the life. And the LifeSpring leaf means that you can have life everlasting in Him. I trust you understand that we look for our joy this season in Him. We look for our strength in Him. Not in the things we get, not in, even though we get joy from giving, not even in that, but I just want to mention that, and I'll keep it anonymous, that we are giving through the church. I'm thankful for the person who had this put on their heart, talked with me. We're going to be giving to the women's shelter a special gift this year to help them. You know, when the most important thing in your life becomes a good pair of socks, you know you're blessed coming in here today. You have nice clothes to put on. You have a decent home. You have heat. You have things like that. And I was speaking with an officer yesterday, and I'll get to the word in just a minute. I was speaking with an officer yesterday, and they're good friends of mine. They actually have their what they call beat, their area of service in District 1, which is a very homeless, poor district of Milwaukee. And she said, standing with my other friend, he's her partner in the squad, they said they offer rides to people who are homeless, and they offer help to them, and they're going to give them, they have them get in the back of the squad, they take them to a homeless shelter, a rescue shelter, to get them out of the cold because they're freezing, they have blankets over them. And she said, you know, surprisingly, some people won't receive the offer. They're freezing cold, they're hurting even, and they won't let us take them to a warm place. So I want to ask you today, would you bow your heads with me and would you pray that when we give this gift to the women's shelter, that they'd be open to receive it? Would that be okay? Would you bow your heads? Jesus, we thank you for giving us a love enough that we want to give to this situation, and that this person has approached me and said, I want to give to this cause. And I pray that you would make their hearts open, Lord Jesus, in this Christmas season, mostly open to you, God, but also open to receive the gift, that they're not embarrassed, that they're not too ashamed not to take what's offered them, but they would be willing to say, okay, I'll take the help in Jesus' precious name. And everyone said amen. Amen, amen, amen. Thank you for praying with me. It's heavy on my heart this season that God would help us not only to give, but just to be people that know how to give in the seasons that we're in, and also praying that our gift makes an impact. Thank you for doing that. So Matthew chapter 2, we're going to go there today. We're in the Christmas season. Our theme is brighter. We need to shine brighter in a dark world, amen? We don't need to back up. We don't need to let down. We don't need to be silenced by the day in which we live. The church has been silent too long. And even in the dark times of King Herod, God did not determine whether the light would shine. Based on the political culture, the times, the light still shone because Jesus had come. And that's why we need to be brighter, because Jesus has come to each one of our lives. Amen? That is truth. And so, in Matthew chapter 2, in verse 1 and 2, it says, "Now when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem, saying, 'Where is he that is born King of the Jews?'" I believe there's hearts in America right now that are asking that question: where is he that is born King? Show us, oh church, you show us lights and you show us music and you show us all beautiful things, and those are all okay, but what if we get back to sharing with them the King born? Amen, someone? "For we have seen his star in the east and are come to worship him." They had noble intent. They came because of the light. And I'm preaching to you today the legacy of light. The legacy of light. Would you pray with me? Jesus, thank you that we have the opportunity to live and share and adore such a great story, the greatest story ever told. That you, King of Glory, divested yourself and came as a babe born in Bethlehem. And we thank you for this moment in your word. We'll forever give you praise and glory in Jesus' name. And everyone said amen. You may be seated. This is a story of the Magi. How many know what that means? Magi. It's the wise men who came to seek Jesus. Raise your hand if you know the story. It's a story that's brought up almost every Christmas season, whether it's preached about or whether it's alluded to. The story of the star is mentioned throughout time and ages and days of Christmas. We talk about the light has come, and that's referring to Jesus Christ. But in those days, a star, a specific star, lit up the night. And the Magi knew enough to know that that meant the Messiah was born. Now, this is all the way over in what's believed to be Palestine at the time. And this is a ways away. They were to the east, which is true. And we understand and know that these were considered magicians and sorcerers of their day. That's what Magi tends to break down to, is Magi for magicians. And this may be more of a deep cut to start the sermon, but I want you to know that these were men of wisdom. These were men of intelligence. They were men that studied intensely, and I want you to know that wise men recognize when Jesus is born. Amen, someone? And I want to also say the statement that many of you have heard: wise men still seek him. Amen? Still seek Jesus. The greatest thing you can do is seek after the Lord. So turn it on. Turn on the light in your life by seeking the Word of God. Turn on the light by studying the Lamb slain. Turn on the light by studying the One who came. Turn on the moral and understanding of structure that comes from the baby born in the manger, knowing that Jesus was the light of the world and he came, and that he is the light and the life of men, Scripture tells us. And so we know that whenever conception takes place, if you've ever seen the videos, they've run through the internet now, there is a flash of zinc that runs entirely around the embryo. Whenever sperm meets egg, there is a flash of light inside the birthing process, and immediately, according to God, that is a living soul. Now, that is something that is not accepted in our world today, but that doesn't mean we stop preaching it from a pulpit. Amen? The truth of God needs to be spoken, whether it's passed on from generation to generation or not. Whether it's believed, it's good or it's not. Whether it's believed, it harms or it doesn't. Turn to your neighbor and say, pass it on. The reason why I tell you to say that is because if you don't tell your children, they will be infected, or they will be infused with the conscience and the world vision of the times in which they live. And so you have to tell your children of the times when Jesus showed up in your life, the times when Jesus shed light in your situation, when revelation came to your life, you have to mold those stories and tell them again and again to your children so that you pass on the light in their life from your life. The things that you grew in and learned in, you need to share those with your children. The Magi were taught by Daniel. Can you believe that? If you go far enough back in the Word of God, you realize that Daniel began to teach the magicians and the sorcerers when they were taken captive into Babylon. And Daniel had a spirit of excellence. I don't know if you can understand what that means in Scripture, but what it means is this. They took him captive. They got him into Babylon. They changed his name. They basically spit in the face of his family name. They said, you're not going to be called this anymore. We're going to give you Babylonian names. And so they took his entire history and said, that's not worth it. We're going to give you all new stuff, which is basically an insult to injury. And he kept a good spirit in all of those times. He decided, I'm not going to let what they do to me determine how I act to them. Hello, somebody. He was grounded in his understanding of who he was and grounded in his understanding of who his God was. And so he kept an excellent spirit, began to pray 3 times a day with his window open, continued to study the Word of God, teach the Word of God, share the wisdoms of God. And as he began to work and do what he knew to do to honor God, God put him in position of power and leadership, and eventually he was over all of the sorcerers and magicians of that day in Babylon, and he began to teach them. This would be probably 10 generations later, but this is the passing on of light, brothers and sisters. This is the passing on of truth. The Magi showed up 2 years after Jesus was born. We know he was in a house at that time, not in a manger. But understand this, even though they get it wrong in the manger scene, and you got wise men standing at a baby in a manger, even though they get that wrong, know this, when the star showed up, they followed the light. Amen? When light shows up, when revelation comes to your life, you need to follow after that revelation. You need to go after that and pursue it with everything in you. So have to understand that while Daniel was keeping a good spirit in a bad place, anybody ever been there? Had to try to keep a good spirit in a bad place. Daniel was creating a legacy of light. He was teaching those sorcerers and those magicians, there's a Messiah coming. You just wait. One day, there's going to be a star that splits the sky, and it's going to announce the Messiah, the King of the Jews, has come, and you will know it because you'll see that light, and you need to go, and you need to worship the baby-born King. Amen, somebody. When we get the light in this place, when we get truth out of the Word of God, and we're speaking about it, and we're sharing the revelation of the oneness of God and His power, something ought to set off inside of you. You don't lift your hands and praise Him to show me your hearing. You lift your hands and praise Him because that's a revelation I know. That's something that changed my life. That's something that moved me into a place where I live for the King born in a manger. I'm thankful that we understand that light creates a legacy. I'm thankful that when we share something with somebody, it doesn't return void, like I said last week. I'm thankful that there's power, that we understand that way back in Babylon, Daniel started speaking about a Messiah, and it lived on from generation to generation. That tells me that what you're doing here today can live on beyond your children and your children's children. That the blessings that God puts in your life and the chains that He breaks in your generation can live on into your children and your children's children. Someone said amen. And so we see that in the time of Herod the king, there came wise men. They did not know exactly where to go, for they were following a star that settled over Jerusalem. And so they asked the king, where is this baby? He said, if you find him, tell me so I can come worship him. But we know that Herod wanted to kill any future king. And so while you see the ones coming that are honestly looking to worship. Within every situation, there is someone who is not honestly looking to worship. They're looking to find out information so they can turn the situation to their benefit. And so we have to be discerning. Amen, somebody. The light has come. The world knows it not. Could the world see you and the light that you're shedding right now? And could the world glorify God for the light that's in your life? That is what we desire. Not that we get the glory for it, but the light that's in us, the revelation, the things passed on to us, the new things that God is doing in us would be so bright in our world that they know it's not coming from us, that they would see our God in it, that they would see the glory of God in it. And the beauty of the glory of God is the weight of what that means. Glory in its perfect form in Scripture means the weight of God. That the glory of God rests down on His church and His people so much that when you start sharing the light, it creates a weight on a heart that says there's something about that. I don't know why you know it and I don't, but I want to know what you know. It creates a space for God to move into their life when you shed the light in a dark place. Darkness has to flee. And so people understand that we gather to reflect as we go from this day to next Sunday to our Christmas journey toward Jesus. We know that God is moving, and it is a journey of faith. It's a journey of persistence. It's a journey of profound significance. It's the story that changed everything. It is a beautiful narrative. Yes, it is. It is the donkey that never thought it could. The donkey that was mistreated and treated bad, but suddenly he's carrying Mary with the baby Jesus inside. It's the story of a man who doesn't understand and needs an angel to tell him it's okay. You can go ahead and stay married to Mary. That child that is in her is of the Holy Ghost. And it's the Magi's journey. All of us have a journey to Jesus, brothers and sisters. All of us have places in our heart where we doubt or where we feel faith or we feel up or we feel down. All of us have mountains to speak to and cast them out. But you've got to speak to them, brothers and sisters. You've got to talk to the things that need faith to move. And so the Magi in Matthew 2:1, consider their remarkable faith. They didn't know where the location was. They just knew they were coming from the east to go toward the star. The light is what heralded Jesus. And the light in our life is what heralds Jesus to the next generation. Heralds Jesus to our coworkers. Heralds Jesus to those that are around us. They had a compelling vision. They saw the star unlike any other. It was a sign pointing to a seismic shift in world history. They undertook the arduous journey. It was not easy to load the supplies and the camels and head toward the star. And it's not always easy in our journey to Jesus, brothers and sisters. It's sometimes arduous. Sometimes we feel like we have enough, and sometimes we feel like we don't have enough. But they didn't look at what they didn't have. They just kept looking up at the wonder that was leading them. And if we just keep looking up at the wonder that leads us, we will see what He wants us to see. Even if we're packing up things we didn't think we'd have to pack up, even if we're traveling in places we never thought we would have to travel, they did hundreds of miles across deserts through uncertain lands to get to where Jesus was born. Their objective was singular. They had a focus. They did not seek power. They did not seek wealth. They did not seek conquest. They simply came
to worship him. And when you live in the light, brothers and sisters, you get to a point of spiritual maturity where it's not the atmosphere you're going to. It's not how great the speaker's going to be. It's not even how great the music's going to be. You start to get to a place in your life where you only have one singular focus, and that is to worship Jesus. That I don't know who's coming this Sunday. I have many days like that. I don't know who's not coming or who will be here. But if you don't show up, guess where I'm going to be? Worshiping Jesus. I'm going to be worshiping Jesus. If I have sickness hit my body and I'm laying in bed, I will lift my hand at about 11 a.m. and say, God, I know the church is meeting to worship you. I want to be a part of that. If there's a moment where I'm traveling and I can't be here, I know that service is starting at 11, and I know there's going to be light and there's going to be word preached and there's going to be wise people still seeking Jesus. And I lift my hands and say, thank you, God. There's an atmosphere of worship in the house of God because worship is the singular most important reason we came here today. The star was their light. Worship was their goal. And if you don't have worship as your goal, you'll get distracted by the other things around you. Don't be distracted by the Herods in your life. Don't be distracted by the people with bad intentions. Don't be distracted with those that lie, cheat, and steal. Only come because you are on a journey to Jesus and worship him as your goal. The legacy behind the journey was Daniel's impact. He left a legacy of light in Babylon. And so from Babylon, the star became so significant to the wise men living hundreds of years ago that Daniel's prophecy translated all the way through to the time of Jesus. Light does not go out when you share it. When you put light in your children, when they are old, they will not turn from the truth. Amen. They will grow up and remember what was taught them in the Word of God. And so here we are in Matthew 2, 1 and 2, a very powerful story in the Word of God. Why did they know what to look for? Because Daniel loved the Word of God so much, he made sure that they loved it too. You must love the truth, brothers and sisters. The Bible says that the Spirit of God within Daniel helped him in these things. He was not moved by the political climate. He was moved by his integrity and his wisdom toward God in Daniel 5:11. Daniel was placed in charge of all those wise men. And so Daniel lived a legacy of light in Babylon. He outlived everything that came against him. But what he didn't know is his light would outlive everything that came against the future generation. That they would end up at the feet of Jesus because of his love for his Savior to come. This is a powerful message. He shared divine truth. He taught the Babylonian wise men the ancient prophecies of his people. He surely must have told them about the promise because they would not have followed had they not known the coming Messiah would be coming as a baby, a king born, and the sign that would accompany his birth would be the prediction of a star. It's found in Numbers 24 and 17. You find the prediction. But even though through all of those long years, through the 400 years of silence, when you have promises made, it got dark, brothers and sisters. I got to go thrifting, and I love thrifting, and I found this military or police issue mag light for $9. Hello, somebody. Good deal. These are like $60 flashlights, mag lights, brand new. And I'm like, it doesn't work. I had to buy this in faith, believing that this thing worked. But I was like, $9, that's such a good deal. I mean, I could use that in my bedroom for if there's noises in the night. And so I went to looking at it. I thought, you know what? Somebody probably just got rid of this because it's not rechargeable. Because everything we have nowadays is rechargeable. You just plug it in, recharge it. And so I got to looking. It's got to have a good battery chamber. Yeah, it's got all the stuff it needs. It's got everything it needs in there. I said, I bet I could put batteries in there and it works. So I put the batteries in. I was like, yeah, this one probably goes like that. Yeah, this one probably goes like this, too. Yeah. Then I put the in back on.
All right, here we go. We're going to test it. See if there's light. Work. I know it's going to work.
Maybe the bulb's out. I really wanted to work. I had a lot of faith, right? Oh, wait a minute. I have to put the power source in the way the master of the designed it to be. I know everybody wants easy rechargeable. They just want to come to church, plug in for a few minutes, and have the pastor preach them a good word. Hello, somebody. And get quick rechargeable. But if you don't get the power source correct, if you don't put things in their proper place, it won't work. And so what's happening, I'm afraid, is we're so busy seeking the easy motivation and the quick word and the tickle our ears that we're coming in and saying, I'll put the batteries in however I want to put the batteries in and get the same light as everybody else. But I'm telling you, it doesn't work like that. You have to be willing to do it the way the manufacturer designed it. And he designed you to be filled with a power called the Holy Ghost. And when you get filled with the Holy Ghost, your light shines bright. I'm not saying the Holy Ghost is only for you to be shiny. I'm saying the Holy Ghost is for you to work like you're designed to work. For you to see what you're supposed to see. For you to work the way you're supposed to work. And now I have a flashlight that works really great in my bedroom. Don't come to my home, not announced, because I will hit you with this. It hurts. No, I'm kidding. But now I have something that it did not work. Others considered it not worthy because it wasn't a quick fix, rechargeable. They thought, now I can get something easier to work with. Sometimes getting light into your life means you have to set aside some time during your day. Sometimes it's not easy for you to get the light that you were designed to have. But I promise you, if you search out the Word of God and you begin to seek the Lord and you begin to pray and you begin to fast, that God will give you something that lights your life so much that it changes the generation in front of you. It changes those that come behind you, and you can share with them things that are moral and grounding, compassing things that are morally grounding in our society right now that are under attack. It's in this word. You'll find it, and you'll live in that light, and so will the next generation. We have so much attack right now on some of the most basic things. Jesus, in his word, deals with all of those things. And I don't have time to just go line by line. And nor do I have the ability to share everything online. But the Bible does say in many places that Jesus would be the light of the world. Amen, someone? That he was willing to come into a dark world and share the light. Did you know the light is a universal need? Did you know that when you're in darkness, you automatically are uneasy? We are designed to be in the light. Did you know that? That your life is designed to live on light. And so whenever I'm preaching about this, I have to tell you
that God was willing to be the light. In Malachi 4:2, it said, Son, S-U-N, of righteousness. Righteousness meaning the Messiah that would be right to come will bring healing in his wings. Do you know what that means? The word wings comes from the tallit. It comes from the Jewish prayer cloth, the shawl that they would put over. And every man that was a Jewish leader would wear this tallit. And this tallit meant something. It had a collar, and around the collar were words. And I've put this on before, but there is in this tallit these tzitzits that come off. And the Bible says 400 years before Jesus showed up that there was going to be healing in his wings. When he stretched out his arms to heal that little girl in the New Testament, those tallit would touch her and she would feel the issue of the glory of God and she came back to life. When you see the woman with the issue of blood, 12 years she dealt with an infirmity in her body and she saw the Messiah as the one prophesied. She would know Malachi 4:2. She would know that there's healing in his wings. She would know that when he's walking, there's a tassel hanging down that she could touch. And she, for 400 years, there was a legacy of light passed through her family that said, if you see the Messiah, there's going to be healing in his wings. And she knew enough to know, if I gotta crawl to Jesus, I'll crawl to him. If I gotta make myself look like a fool, I will crawl to Jesus. And Jesus is walking through the crowd, being rubbed up against, being touched by all kinds of people. But when that little woman with expectant faith got a hold of that little tassel, that little hem of his garment, issue went from him. Virtue flowed out of him. And her body, 12 years of bleeding, hemorrhaging on the inside, was dried up instantly. Why? Because she had a legacy of light. She knew Malachi 4:2. She knew, if I can get around the Messiah, there's going to be a hem of his garment. This garment represented that they needed to keep their mind and their life on Jesus. They wanted the tallit. The tallit had the tzitzit. They had it exposed so that in Numbers it tells us the reasons why they did that. But they had it exposed that every time they looked down, it reminded them, I'm a child of God. I'm supposed to live like God wants me to live. And so the very thing she touched was the thing that gave Jesus identity. Hello, somebody. That he was God manifest in the flesh, that he was walking with virtue and power in his veins. And when she touched it, Jesus stopped. It wasn't just another brush by. It wasn't just another Sunday service. Hello, somebody. It wasn't just another Bible study lesson, but it was somebody who came hungry and wanted something and knew a word from God that they could touch the hem of his garment and they could get healed. It was a woman that understood that there was a legacy of light somewhere passed down in her family, that when Messiah showed up, there'd be healing in his wings. Amen, somebody. So I love the book of Luke. You probably are getting that because I say it a lot. I absolutely love the book of Luke because there's so much revelation in the book of Luke. Even for our times, Luke says that Simeon declares that the infant Jesus was a light for revelation to the Gentiles. He's a light. The revelation, if that was a revelation to you just now, guess what? Simeon talked about it in the New Testament. He said that there's going to be a revelation that comes to Gentiles that Jews never even got. That's you and me, brothers and sisters. That means we're going to get revelation when we study the Word of God and from God's presence and His Spirit that others haven't even tapped yet. Oh, the goodness of God toward us, amen? Oh, the light of God toward us, that He can give us revelations we can pass into the future generation, and they will stand at Jesus' feet worshiping Him, all because of the legacy of light that was handed to them through you, amen? I'm so grateful for this. I hope you're feeling what I'm feeling when I'm preaching this. This is wonderful. That prayer shawl really did matter because it made the fringe available to a woman that needed him. It made a place for her to touch, and she knew that touched his identity. And so when we get light and we understand the Word of God, it's important that we share it. I'm dealing with some things at work right now, and I can't mention what's going on, but I can tell you this, that
when others in your environment come in and they have difference of belief than you, I can't always address the difference of belief at its face value when it's presented, but I can pray for them. And as I pray for them, God will open a door for me to share a difference of understanding in that situation. And so I'm waiting for God to open the door, because there's an opportunity there, if I give it enough time, to share that the baby in the womb is precious to God. And that in America, abortion is killing millions of babies. And this is not a topic for a Sunday morning because you can get canceled online. I don't care. It's the Word of God. But understand this. When John leaped in his mother's womb, the Bible called the baby Brephos. That when John, the babe, heard the announcement of Jesus, when Mary and Elizabeth came together, and Elizabeth was pregnant with John the Baptist, and Mary was pregnant with the Messiah, Jesus. And at the announcement of Jesus, John the Baptist jumped in Elizabeth's womb. The Bible says that John was filled with the Holy Ghost in the womb. God can do whatever he wants to do, right? And so when the Bible says that the babe jumped, it uses the word brephos in the Greek. When the Bible says that Jesus, the babe, was laid in the manger outside the womb, it says the babe was laid in the manger. It uses the same word, brephos. That means to God, the baby in the womb is identified the same as the baby outside the womb. I'm telling you, this is an attack of the enemy on our planet. It's an attack of the enemy. It's a device of the devil. And I want you to know we are praying for people who are battling with the idea of getting rid of that infant in their womb, or dealing with the idea that this is just an inconvenience for the rest of my life. I say it isn't. I say that baby doesn't deserve to be treated any way but with dignity and respect. God sees that baby as the same, whether in the womb or out of the womb. And I want you to hear me, that when we start shedding light like that, the darkness will attack it. But we have to be the ones willing to shoulder up the legacy of light. We have to be willing to carry the burden of people saying, you don't even understand the science. Don't you know they don't even feel pain up to a certain number of weeks? It does not matter what the world says. They'll say anything to do what they want to do. Do you hear me, brothers and sisters? Saw a survey of a man that was surveying some college students, and he said, would you just sign here the petition? We are seeing baby puppies that are being destroyed, and we know that's horrible. And they're like, oh, yeah, no, we should make some laws about that. They need to not kill baby puppies, and that's horrible. And then he turned the page. He goes, would you also sign they're killing babies? Would you also sign not for dismemberment and the things of babies? And they're like, oh, I'm okay. I'm okay. And they went on. Literally, we're getting to a point where light is going to be so bright, because our world gets so dark, that we have to pray for light to be received, brothers and sisters. We have to pray for things to take place that God wants to have happen, but their minds are darkened. The world has come to a place where they have made puppies more important and more valuable than human infants and fetuses in the womb. And I will tell you this, I'm going to carry this light. I don't care what the takeaway is here today, that you feel like I'm just pushing an agenda. I am not. I am telling you, this is the scripture. God wants babies born, not babies aborted. God has a plan for every child in the womb. He wraps them up and he designs them. In every piece of their DNA is their story for their future. Understand that we are not doing this in our life, in our church. We're going to promote quote the things of God. We're not going to be silent and say, no, the word can be quiet on this. No, it can't. I don't care how much the world turns against the word of God and wants itching ears and wants to recharge their light, however they want to recharge it. We're going to stay with the source and power of God. Amen, somebody. And so our takeaway today from the author is that there were men willing to be uncomfortable and to go into a strange land just to get at the feet of Jesus. Are you willing to be uncomfortable? Are you willing to go to places you are not familiar with? Places where your family has never been? Hello, somebody. What if you're the only one in your family that steps out and carries a legacy of light? What if you're the only one that knows that prayer changes things? What if you're the only one gifted with enough faith, the measure of faith, that you can believe for miracles in your family that don't even know God very well? What if you are the one that God uses to change everything? Would you pray with me? Jesus, we're here today because we want to be wise. We want to pursue you with all our heart. We want to seek after you. We want to have good morals. We want to be grounded by your word. We want to know the value of life and that that life is the light in every situation. I know people have things that they do. I know people that don't deserve the situations they're in. And we pray for them, God, that you'd help them to understand that that life is light, and that light comes from heaven. Light comes from you, God. Would you turn any situation around that needs to be turned? Would you give somebody hope? Would you give somebody a legacy of understanding, a revelation of light, that they pursue you, not pursue their feelings, not pursue how their family has brought them up, not pursue how their life has been lived to this point, but they pursue a change in you, God. And I pray you help us to pass on the legacy of light in this church, that every single person that comes in here and hears the preaching, the teaching, the love, the care for each other, that they would know that we celebrate life here, for we are life spring. We are the source, the place that looks to you for life. Would you make every soul that's thirsty be quenched today? Would you make every soul that desires you find you today? In Jesus' name, I pray. And someone said amen. Would you just clap your hands unto the Lord and thank him for putting legacy in your life, for putting light in your life, for giving you hope and joy. Would you stand and would you do that in a worship unto God? Would you just stand all over the room and lift your hands and begin to just worship the Lord? We can be the light in our situation. We can be a light in a dark world. We have been offered the opportunity to carry Jesus to this world. There is a star above every single home, a star above every single workplace. There's a star over every single life, and you can be the one who journeys to Jesus and takes the message of him to anyone that needs to hear about him. Thank you, Jesus, for your word today. We love you. We adore you. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. I want to open the altar. This is a time where you can change your batteries. This is a time where you can decide, I'm not going to put my power source together the way I think it should be. But this is a time where you say, God, I draw near to you. Make me work the way you want me to work. Make my heart fire for the compassion that you have. Make my life be a testimony of what you want to do. This altar's open. Would you come and would you just align yourself with the light today? Would you just align yourself with Jesus and say, Lord, I surrender all. If you need to touch the hem of his garment today because you're worried about something in your life, would you just come seeking him? Would you come pursuing him? Would you come looking for him to show up? Even in the darkest moments, he's there. He's the light in our lineage. He's the light in our life.
He's the legacy that we long for. Jesus, thank you. Thank you for being that light in our life. In Jesus' name.